Oh, yes. I thought Charlene was dancing, but she was like fanning her face. There's no one doing the sermon. I'm not going up. All right. I can't dance, guys, sorry. I might have some skills, but it's probably not in dancing, let's be honest. But there was some dancing down the back that was looking pretty flash. Some dancers down there on the sound desk. All right. I want you to take your mind back this morning. Might be a little way back for some people, maybe way back for some other people. But do you remember when you were a little bit younger and you really wanted to be like someone? And you really looked up to this person. You might have even followed them around because you wanted to be with them all the time and you wanted to be just like them. Does anyone remember a time like that? I see some nods. I was thinking about it this week too. I'm a second child, so my classic was that when I was younger, I thought my older sister was pretty cool. She did some cool stuff and I followed her around and probably annoyed the heck out of her. Following her around, trying to be like her, probably dressing like her, stealing her CDs, all those kind of things. But we probably all remember a time when we wanted to be like someone and we followed someone around and we just wanted to spend time with them. And that's really what it is about today. We're starting this Practicing the Way series and it's about being with Jesus. But I've got one question before we start. A question that I want us to ponder probably even beyond this morning. And the question is, who am I following? Or we could rephrase it and say, who or what am I a disciple of? Who am I following? You know, the world that we live in is constantly forming us, whether we realize it or not. Hey, we've got the internet, smartphones, social media, scrolling, and constant advertising, right? Every time you open something, advertising pops up, you walk around, advertising, we know, it's everywhere. And along with heaps of other things and people in our life, we're being formed by so many different things. And if we're not intentionally being formed by Jesus, we're most likely being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. Hey, if we're not intentionally being really intentional about being formed by Jesus, we're probably unintentionally being formed by someone or something else. And how we know that is how we can think about how we spend our time or our energy. That's a surefire way to work out what we're following or being formed by, how we spend most of our time or who we spend most of our time with. And I think that's so important, and that's part of the reason that we're looking at this series, Practicing the Way, because I think it's so important to take stock or pause every now and then to kind of look at our life, take stock of our life and look at what is forming us, who we are becoming like. And that's why we're delving into this series, Practicing the Way. It's an intentional look, this Practicing the Way series, which is going to be over 3 weeks. Vanessa's preaching next week and then Bevan the following. It's this really intentional way to look at how we are following Jesus. And it's not a quick solution. We know that, hey, it's not a quick solution and it's not something light, but it's a deep focus, a deep intention of following Jesus with our whole life. The person that wrote the book, you may or may not have heard of him. His name is John Mark Comer. He's a Christian pastor and author, and he has also created not just the book, but some really awesome resources that go along with the book. And that's where the sermon series comes from. The resources are all online on his website. It sounds like I'm doing a plug for him. I'm not trying to, but his resources are really good, and they're free. Who doesn't like free stuff, right? some people. Come on, yes, we love free stuff. So it's at practicingtheway.org, and you can talk to me about it afterwards, or Bevan or Vanessa, if you're keen to delve into it, because there's so many good resources on there. Also, our Tuesday night life group has just started a series, and that's going really well, and anyone's welcome to join that as well. And I know the young adults are doing it, and they're like 4 weeks in or something. Is that right, guys? It's going really well. Three. And it's going really well, isn't it? Really getting into it. Awesome. So talk to some of these guys over here, and they'll be able to talk to you about it as well. So as we start this series, Practicing the Way, you might be thinking, why is it called Practicing the Way? Wow, I can give you the insight on that. Early followers of Jesus were called followers of the way. There you go. Due to their commitment to follow the example and teaching of Jesus and his way of life. And in John 14:6, a lot of us know this really well-known passage. Jesus calls himself the way, the truth, and the life, and that the way to the Father is through him. So that's why it's called Practicing the Way. And for those early followers, the practice of following your leader or your rabbi was super familiar. And I'm going to take us on a really short journey just to unpack what it looked like in those biblical times for those followers of Jesus or following a rabbi, just to give us some context as we go into this series. So, it's pretty intense. The early form of education was called Bet Sefer, and it was basically primary school, where boys up to the age of 12 or 13 would learn the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, by heart. When you think about it, that's massive, right? The first five books of the Bible by heart. I'm not going to ask anyone to put up their hands if they can recite it today, because we probably want to go home for lunch. But that is amazing. And I thought, it's kind of a gift, right, to have that information right with you. They didn't need to check their phone or check a book to look up a verse. And I thought this morning, maybe we've kind of lost something in our culture and where we live now with having everything at our fingertips. Maybe we've lost something because we can just look up everything, right? And so we have kind of, we don't have all that same learning. We don't all have it in our mind because we're like, oh, just look it up. Oh, well, the internet will just tell me, oh, I can just check Google or our friend AI. Anyhow, I digress. I just think, what a gift they had in those times because they had learnt it themselves. They had that knowledge themselves. All right, back on track, Rochelle, back on track. So then, after Bet Sefer, the best of the best kids would go on to what was known as Bet Midrash, which was the next step, and it was next to the synagogue, and they would learn the whole Old Testament. You heard me right, the whole Old Testament. and they would do that until they're about 17. Then if you weren't doing that, you'd be working with your family, you might be apprenticing to your parents, joining the family business, or you might have worked on a farm or something like that. But if you were like the absolute tippy top of that class, like the best of the best of the best, you would then apprentice under a rabbi. It was like the pinnacle of the Jewish education system. In the book, John Mark Comer says, it'd be kind of like getting a PhD today. So it's pretty significant. And you would leave your family, see you later, you'd leave your family, and you would follow your rabbi from town to town to town, synagogue to synagogue. You would live 24/7 with them, watching what they did, how they interacted with people, how they responded to situations, and learning to become like them in every possible way. Your life would be entwined with theirs 24/7. So once you had your rabbi, your life would have revolved around these three main goals. Be with your rabbi, become like your rabbi, and do as your rabbi did. And a common saying in those days was, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And some of you might have heard that before. May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. And it sounds kind of weird, right, for us now. But what it meant is, may you walk so closely behind your rabbi. May you be following them so closely that then when they walk, the dust from their feet is flicking up onto you because you have followed them so closely behind, step by step. It's like an honor. That would have been like an honor to have the dust of your rabbi on you. So as we start this series, and we've kind of, that's a little bit of context about in those times, as we start this series for us, it is the same for us. Jesus is our rabbi, and we want to be his apprentices, hey? We want to continue on that journey of learning from him, following him, being his apprentice. We want to be intentional, super intentional, about who we follow. And whether we're new followers of Jesus or we've been on the journey for a while, it's the same as those Jewish young men with their rabbi. We need to be with Jesus, become like him, and do as he did. It's a lifestyle of full commitment. And I love this quote from John Mark Comer. You're going to hear his name a few times. Maybe there'll be a quiz at the end. If you can remember his name, I'll give you a chocolate. There's no problem to human life that apprenticeship to Jesus cannot solve. And I loved that quote. There's no problem in human life that apprenticeship to Jesus cannot solve. So I thought, let's dive in. Let's dive in today. Who's with me? Yes, I love it. And I've got another question for you just before we start unpacking what it is to be with Jesus. If you met someone new in your life, maybe a new workmate or someone, a new neighbor or someone that you've known for a while, would they be able to tell by your life, what you do and what you say, that you're an apprentice of Jesus? Just a thought for us all this morning, isn't it? If you met someone new or someone that you knew a bit, would they be able to tell that you're an apprentice of Jesus? So this first step that we're unpacking this morning is be with Jesus. The disciples were able to be with him physically, hey, and they journeyed with him from town to town to his teaching in the synagogue and beyond. And what does that mean for us? Like the disciples, they left their literal fishing nets behind and followed Jesus. We need to leave the safety of our safety nets of our lives behind and take up his call to follow him. And we live in the post-Pentecost time where the Spirit has been poured out on all people. And we've been talking about that a bit in the previous months, haven't we? And that's such a gift that we have. So we can be with Jesus through his Holy Spirit, which is awesome. What a gift. And then, just taking a step back, before Jesus dies and is risen to life, and then the Holy Spirit comes. In John 15, Jesus shares with his disciples about being with him and abiding with him, like being with Jesus. And it says about Jesus being the vine and us being the branches. And a lot of us may have heard this before. John 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown to the fire, and burns. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So Jesus is giving this key to being an apprentice right here in this passage. He's saying it's to remain in him. The key is to be with Jesus, to remain in him. And the Greek word, it might be on the screen. Yeah, there it is. The Greek word was used, it was meno. I probably said that wrong, but you don't know that, but I probably just told you. Which means remain, stay, or dwell, or to make your home, which I think is such a cool phrase, to make your home. It paints a beautiful picture, doesn't it? Make your home in me, and I will make my home in you. Home is where we live. Home is where we come back to, where we feel safe. It conjures up feelings of belonging, of love. This is what Jesus is saying in this moment. Make your home in me. Make your place with me. And we all make our home somewhere, right? I'm not just talking like physically, but emotionally. We all have a default, an emotional home where we return to when our minds are busy with life, where our feelings end up when we need peace, where our bodies go when we have free time. even where our money goes, if we have a little bit left over, hey, there's always a default, there's always somewhere we go to. And Jesus knows we all make our home somewhere, we all have that default. And he was telling his disciples to make it him. He's asking the same of us right now today. He's saying, I love you, I want to be you to be with me as I'm with you. Make me your default, make me your home. Because Jesus knows that whatever we abide in will determine the fruit of our lives. Hey, like we were saying before, what we spend our time on is what forms us. And we all spend our time thinking of different things. For example, if we spend all our time thinking about money, it will be our driving force, right? And we know people like that. Not saying they're wrong, but I'm just saying we know situations where things become a driving force and you can clearly see it in people's lives. Might be on social media all the time, and that's what will become our fruit. And I'm sure as you sit here, you can think of some of your own. Hey, there's so many things that can fill that default, and it can be so different for different people. But Jesus is saying in this passage about abiding in him, he wants us to come to him as the default. He wants to be our default, our home. When we're eating breakfast, being with Jesus. When we're making lunch boxes or changing nappies for the millionth time, being with Jesus. Writing emails at work, being with Jesus. Doing the dishes, being with Jesus. And you can fill in so many things there. This idea of being with Jesus over the years has so many titles, and I'm sure we've heard them before. Paul in the New Testament calls it praying without ceasing. Brother Lawrence, an example from the book, he was a 17th century French monk. He called it the practice of the presence of God. And we could simply call it today being with. I thought that, you know, we love to shorten things these days, eh? We could just call it being with. But let's continue to make it Jesus, to be with Jesus, to be aware of his presence in our lives, attentive to his voice, to cultivate withness to Jesus as the baseline for our lives. So that's sort of unpacking this, the context, and then flowing into be with Jesus. But the other part I've entitled, how do we do it? How do we do it? And the first point that John Mark Comer makes in his book is turning God into a habit. More questions. If we think about our first thought of the day, or what do you think about when you're putting out the washing, waiting in line? We all love doing that, don't we? Waiting in line. When your mind is idle, what do you think of? Brother Lawrence, who I just mentioned before, was one of the dishwashers at his monastery. And amongst the chaos of meal prep, eating and cleanup, he honed his craft of practicing the presence of God in his life. And I thought, if turning God into a habit and training oneself to be like Jesus and be with Jesus was important in the 1600s, which is a long time ago, isn't it? How much more must it be now? With all the added distractions we have in our lives and the world that we live in. If it required practice then for Brother Lawrence, it will require practice for us too. We will need to be intentional and train our minds to come back to God over and over until it becomes default. It probably won't be easy for most of us, and some of us are already on this journey. I just want to acknowledge that. Some of this is not new for people. But it might not be easy because our minds do tend to drift. Hey, I know mine does. You're thinking of something, doing something, and then, oh, you've gone on to another thought. And life seeps in. But practice makes progress. Practice makes progress. Or like how Paul the Apostle in the New Testament described it in Colossians 3, he said, set your minds on things above. And I think the awesome thing about our brains is that they're able to be retrained, right? The more we do something, the stronger the neural pathways become in our brain, making it easier to do something again and again. Like building a habit. We're just basically talking about building a habit, aren't we? The more you do something, the more your brain puts those pathways together and the easier it becomes for you. It becomes a default. And I think that's so awesome that God created our minds to be like that, right? We're not just stuck in something forever. We can retrain our minds to be like that. And I flipped the old saying on its head this morning that you would have heard, and I said, an old dog can learn new tricks. Yeah, woohoo! I'm 40 and I'm loving that. An old dog can learn new tricks. In time, it will become sort of like a soul reflex. That's what John Mark Comer calls it. It's basically like muscle memory. Hey, we all know what that is. It's like, I came with a very basic example. It's like brushing our teeth. I mean, kids don't like doing it, and you have to ask and ask and ask, but when we're adults, it's just become part of our habits, hasn't it? Brushing our teeth. We don't even really think about it. We just do it each day. The habits show who we are and who we will become. If we want to be like Jesus and continue to be like Jesus on this path, we need to be with Jesus. So that's the first thought, making it a habit, building that habit. The second thought that John Mark Comer brings up in his book is to be, well, I kind of changed it a little bit, and I've entitled it Love and to be Loved by God, Spending Time Together. And he says, looking at God, looking at you, thinking about if you're sitting apart from each other, looking at each other, you're looking at God and he's there looking at you. And I think that's such a beautiful picture it's painted about God's love. And how often do we just sit in God's love and dwell in it? Without our time sort of being transactional with him. Not trying to ask something, not that that's a bad thing, of course, but just to be with God, just to contemplate his love for you, for us. And in 2 Corinthians, Paul puts it like this, we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory. Another Greek word that I'm probably going to mispronounce is katoprizio, which says gaze or behold, to contemplate the Lord's glory. That's the Greek word that came out of that passage. We could also call this, probably a way that we would say it maybe in these days, would be meditation perhaps, or contemplative prayer. And it's taking time out of our day to make room for a filling of God, being in the moment, fully present in God's presence and his love for us. Because the reward for following Jesus is Jesus, right? Being with him, that is our reward. And in our fast-paced world, I know I've talked about this so many times in different sermons, but it's so true. In our fast-paced world, which is obsessed with efficiency, even I fall into that, you know, sometimes, being like just wanting everything to be efficient, slowing down means sort of seems counterproductive, right? In the world that's rushing around, everyone has goals, we're all trying to be efficient and get things done on our to-do list. Slowing down probably seems counterproductive. It may even seem crazy. It may even seem a little crazy. To take time out just to contemplate God and let his love shape us into the person of love kind of seems wild, right? In conjunction with how we normally live life. But that's just it, right? Being with Jesus should be our goal, and the joy that comes from spending time together, just like it would with another friend, hey, we love spending time with people. Jesus just wants us, and maybe if you don't think about anything else from this message, which I shouldn't say because then you might just think about this one thing, but if there's only one thing that you take away from this, is that Jesus loves us and he just wants us to keep showing up to be with him. He just wants us to keep trying and showing up, to keep praying and spending time with him. That's really the key to this being with Jesus part that we're talking about this morning. Jesus just wants us to keep showing up. He wants to spend time with us, which is so amazing that the creator of the world, our Savior, wants to spend time with us. The third point this morning, and I know time's going on, the third point this morning is to find your secret place. This is a real key to this time of contemplation and being with Jesus, to find this place. And it's really interesting, and I hadn't thought about this before, but that's why this book is so awesome, because it puts things in a different way, or things that you haven't thought about before. And it says, Jesus' first piece of advice about prayer in the Gospels to his disciples was about where to pray. Isn't that really interesting? Really interesting. And so it says, when you pray, go into your room. Sorry, I should say I paraphrase this. When you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And we see Jesus' example of this in the Gospels. He would teach, he would journey, he would heal and deliver. And then, in many times, he would find a place of solitude, wouldn't he, to pray, to spend time with the Father. He'd go across the lake, or he would try and find some place where he was by himself to have that solitude, the time with the Father. And it was built in as part of his rhythm. And then he would return to the disciples, refreshed for his ministry. And I thought, if that pattern's good enough for Jesus, it's probably good enough for us, right? Yeah, I reckon such a good example that Jesus has set about that time that we need solitude and reflection with God. No matter who we are, personality-wise, you might be the world's biggest extrovert. You might be an introvert. It does not matter. You could be in stage of life with young kids. You might be in another life where you retired, empty nester. All of those in-betweens. All of us need time alone with God, no matter what, who you are or what stage you're in. It may be, for some, a room in your house. It might be a favourite chair. It might be completely outside. It might be you walk in the mornings. You might have a dog. You might walk your dog. It might be something you routinely do that you can put into your life to spend time with God. And I know many of you already have this, and it's not a new concept for many, like for people. Just it could be a really good reminder this morning to have that space, however that looks for you. And the fourth thought this morning, and this is quite wordy, but I'll try and say it. Ruthlessly eliminate hurry from your life. All right, I got there. A Christian philosopher called Dallas Willard said, hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. And he wouldn't have written that like yesterday. He would have written that many years ago. But it still holds true. And I think we deep down all know that, right? Hurry is the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. The call to apprentice under Jesus is a call not to do more. It might sound like it, but it's not a call to do more, but to do less. It's not just habit stacking, which in itself is not a bad thing, but it goes beyond that. It's learning to say no, which is hard for most of us, I imagine. Hard to say no. Jesus is calling us to slow down and simplify our lives around the three goals of an apprentice, which this morning we're looking at be with Jesus. But those three goals are be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And this should be at the core. We should plan our life around these three things, not try and fit it into our already crowded life, if you know what I mean. Our three goals of our apprenticeship to Jesus, to be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. We sit in this constant push-pull, I definitely do, to sit in this constant push-pull of wanting to spend time with Jesus, but being pulled on the same track into our busy lives. It's sort of this tug of war, you could call it, isn't it? We want to spend time with Jesus, but we also have these lives that are so full of things, so full. And I've got a lot of quotes, but there's another quote from Rich Velotis, who is a Christian pastor in Brooklyn, in a really big church in Brooklyn, New York. And he's in the book, he says, our souls were not created for the kind of speed to which we have grown accustomed. Thus, we are a people who are out of rhythm, a people with too much to do and not enough time to do it. And that really hit home for me as I read that. We have too much to do and not enough time to do it. We can't fit more in. It's probably not possible for most of us. We have to be selective and protective of what we do with our life and our time as Jesus' apprentices, to follow him so closely that the dust from his sandals is on us. And so, as I come to wrap this up, be with Jesus, our thought for today. This is the key part, the first step in our apprenticeship with Jesus. What does that mean for you this morning? What does that mean for me this morning? What does it mean for us? Just some thoughts this morning. How will you cultivate your time, or continue to cultivate your time, to allow you to make him your home? How will we continue the training of our minds in making time and honing that skill of returning our mind to Jesus over and over? What does it look like to simply look at God looking at you in love and to contemplate that? Take time just to simply spend time with God, dwelling in his love. How do we live knowing Jesus is our goal? How do we find our secret place and take steps to slow down or say no? It's a big one, hey? How do we take steps to slow down or say no? And I know this morning it's a lot to take in, and I know you've heard my voice for a lot of time, and I appreciate your attention. It's a lot to take in. It's quite big. It's a lot to cover. And I just encourage you again, if you have the time, to maybe look at the sessions or maybe go through it yourself as we go through, because we can only cover so much on a Sunday morning and there's so much there. But I respect that it is a lot to take in. But maybe there's one thing that stood out to you. Let's bring it down to a one thing, like a one step. Maybe there's one thing that stood out to you that Jesus is challenging you to take the next step in order to be with him. I'm going to share my challenge this morning from me reading through The Practicing of the Way. I was challenged as I read through this book about one of mine. The first thing I do every single morning is open my phone and I go on a news site. Every single morning I check the news. That's the first thing I do every single day. The first thing. I open my phone and I check the news. I know that needs to change for me. My first moment needs to be that moment to thank God for another day of living, another day of life, to honour him with my time. I know that's one step that I need to take. Just thought I'd share that as an example this morning. Sometimes it can just be just one thing to take the next step, hey? So what's yours this morning? Might be saying no, could be finding your secret place, training your mind to be home in Jesus. Maybe it's to sit in contemplation and not just in a transactional relationship. How can we follow our rabbi one step closer this week? That's what I'm going to leave you with this morning. The question sort of sums it all up. How can we follow our rabbi one step closer this week so that his dust is on us? How do we be with Jesus? What is that next step to spending more time with our Saviour? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for people who write things about you. We thank you for John Mark Comer and his wisdom to write this book about following you. We thank you for what it tells us. We thank you that we're not alone in continuing this journey or starting this journey, that you are with us every step of the way, God, and that you are there to guide us, challenge us, encourage us on this journey. And we just thank you this morning that you love us so much and that you just want us to spend time with you. We thank you for that. May we never take that for granted. We just pray that you will continue to speak to us about being with you and what that looks like for us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. As you came in this morning, you probably thought, oh, Rochelle's given us homework. Well, I kind of have. So if it's not on your chair, it'll be near you. It's this Practicing the Way And it's got that question that I just read out. Be with Jesus. How can we follow our rabbi one step closer this week? And we're just going to have a small time of reflection. You might want to write something there this morning. You might want to take it home and think about it. Put it somewhere that reminds you about this Practicing the Way series and what we're thinking about. But we're just going to take a couple of minutes now to think over this question and reflect. God bless you.